to encourage me and one another in our faith as we lift up our voices in song. It is good to see those who have been unable to be out lately for illness or other reasons be able to be out today. We're thankful for the good number here this morning. I remember when I was a youngster, we did something that most of the young people don't know anything about today. We played outside. And it was a very different world, obviously, but every day after school, every day during the summer, I mean, myself, all the kids on whatever street we lived on, we were outside playing all day, every day, unless it was raining, and then we'd have to come inside. And the things that we did, if we were outside, I can remember riding our bikes everywhere, playing football games, touch football out in the street. A lot of times that was almost an everyday thing in the fall. I can remember, we didn't get on video games and play, shoot 'em up stuff on video games. We actually played cowboys and Indians, we went out or army or whatever it was. And we did that sort of stuff as well. So always outside. And the time would come sometime during the day, lunchtime or especially supper time. And, my father would come to the door of the house and holler out, the screen door or whatever it was, say, Steve, time to come home. And so I'd be usually somewhere on the street that we were living on. He'd give me a range. My parents gave me a range. You could be this far down the street and this far down the other way. That's as far as you can go. So that was my range. And it would be just usually an earshot of his hollering. So he would call me home. And I remember that so vividly, so many times. And if I heard it, of course, I'd come a running. Usually it was because it was supper time. Sometimes, however, it was because I had to do a chore. He wanted me to do something like that, but still, whatever it was. Once in a while, it would be because I was in trouble and I hadn't done something I was supposed to do, or I did something I wasn't supposed to do. And so if it wasn't quite supper time when I got the holler, I was nervous. I was a little bit dreading what this might possibly be. Maybe it was just time to go to church, which would be great. But there were times when it was unpleasant when I got there because I had, in fact, done something to displease my dad. Those moments, I remember those moments so well when I'd be wondering, now what's this about? Why is he calling me now? And I'd start running, jogging home. And that's what's going through my head. Am I in trouble? Is this going to be okay? It's kind of early for supper. And so this feeling of dread a little bit, a feeling of doubt, a feeling of not really being sure what's going to happen, a little bit of apprehension. I didn't like that feeling. One day, we are all going to be called to our eternal home. And when that day comes, let's be ready. Let's not have to worry about those feelings of apprehension or doubt or worry. What's going to happen next? Let's be ready to go home with confidence, with joy, with a marvelous expectation of what we're about to experience. The Bible says that we will all go to our eternal home. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 5, Solomon describes the process of aging. We're getting old, and I'm experiencing a lot of the things that he talked about in this particular passage. He talks about being afraid of height. I remember a time in my life where I didn't mind getting up on top of the roof of a house that much, or I didn't mind getting up on a ladder or climbing a tree. I'm starting to mind that sort of thing more and more. But he says they're afraid of the height, of the terrors in the way. When the almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper is a burden and the desire fails. For he says, for man goes to his eternal home and the mourners go about the streets. And the way he describes that, passing from this life and you go on to your eternal home. Makes me think a little bit about going home when my father would call. Because after death, there is a time when God will call us. We'll face God after this life. Job observes in Job chapter 14 and verse 14, if a man dies, will he live again? All the days of my hard service I will wait till my change comes. And you shall call and I will answer you, and you shall desire the work of your hands. So at some point God is going to call us, whether we're alive or dead, call us into his presence, and he will want to see us before him. And in that time, we will answer to him. The New Testament says in Hebrews 9 and verse 27, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. In a sense, we're going home, sort of, or we're headed that way when we die. But after that, we're going to face God in judgment at some point. The Apostle Paul describes it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and he says in verse 10 that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. That experience, receiving the things done in the body, receiving our reward, as Jesus calls it, it's going to be a really glorious experience for some of us. It's going to be like me going home to one of my mom's home-cooked meals. And when Dad called and it was supper time and I could get to the door and smell, you know, the supper that Mom had cooked, that was a good time for me. And so we're going to a heavenly feast. We're going to a time of joy to experience in the presence of our Father. Paul stylizes that this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1. He says that we know if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. In this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If we're expecting to go to heaven when we die, if we're expecting to go to that wonderful home of God, we are longing for it. We earnestly desire it. The English Standard Version in this passage says that while we are here on earth, we sigh because we want to live in that heavenly home. And from that standpoint, we can't wait for God to call us home. That translation in the English Standard Version reminds me of the song we sing sometime, O land of rest, for thee I sigh. When will the moment come when I shall lay my armor by and dwell in peace at home? We're really looking forward to that. And if we're right with the Lord, if we're living lives in Christ, there's nothing to fear there. There's no apprehension. There's just a glorious expectation. But for others, there is apprehension. It's the beginning, it will be the beginning of eternal misery. John sees it in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12, the judgment scene. He says, I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne. And books were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books according to what they'd done. Just as Paul described in 2 Corinthians 5, where we read a minute ago. But the thing that you see in this judgment scene in Revelation chapter 20 is that in verse 15, if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. To experience unimaginable pain away from the presence of God for all eternity. We need to be ready, really ready. Here's what I'm aware of. I'm aware of the fact that there are people who think that they're ready, who are not. There are people who think that the Father is calling them or their loved ones home for a wonderful feast, and that's not what they're going home to. the going home, if you will, in the presence of God to be judged and to be punished. There are those who are Christians but have not lived faithful lives. There are those who are not Christians who nonetheless expect that the Father is just going to accept them into His presence for all eternity. I read a chapter in a book this week, kind of interesting, and it illustrates this point for us, and I'm going to spend some time talking about what was in that chapter in this little book. It's called Tales from the South Carolina Lowland. And it's just some folk stories of some things that happened in the lowlands of South Carolina. This is about something that happened in a little denominational church there. At the end of every service, the preacher would always ask for anybody who wanted to stand up and give their testimony. And there was a man there, Uncle Rufus Singleton. He was old, he was decrepit, he had rheumatism. But he'd always jump up first and he would give his testimony. And his testimony would go like this. I remember when the Lord called me. The Lord called me and He said, Rufus, Rufus, are you ready to go? And I was ready to go, but the Lord didn't take me then. But I'm ready to go anytime I hear the Lord's call. Anytime I hear Rufus, Rufus, I'm ready to go. Well, there was going to be a revival meeting at this particular country denominational church, and a group of the young people got together beforehand, and they planned a little joke on Uncle Rufus. And they could hardly get the scheme worked out because they were laughing about it so hard, but it involved posting various ones of them along the route that Rufus took to and from the church building. They put somebody by a pine tree and somebody at the graveyard and somebody else behind a little shack that was on the way and somebody else outside Rufus's window. And so they had the revival service, and as it ended, Uncle Rufus stood up to give his testimony as the preacher asked, does anybody want to give the testimony? And he started out as he always does, you know, Rufus, Rufus, and he told his story about the Lord calling him and how he was ready to go. And with emotion in his face and tears running down his cheeks, he told his story about being ready for the Lord to call him home. Well, after the service ended, Rufus hobbled out to the back door, shook the preacher's hand, made an excuse for his wife not being there that day, and then shuffled out across the lawn and onto the road to go home. And as he was walking by the big pine tree, he heard a voice, Rufus, Rufus. Uncle Rufus stopped. He put his hand to his ear. He heard the voice again. This time it was louder. Rufus, Rufus. The Father is calling you home. Uncle Rufus started moving back toward his house, even moving further than he had before, faster than he had before. He was nearly running when he got to the graveyard. A voice came from behind the stone fence at the graveyard. Rufus, Rufus, your Father is calling you home. The man didn't give a thought to his rheumatism. He crossed the road, ran by the shack. From behind the shack, a voice came out, Rufus, Rufus, your Father is calling you home. Rufus throws his cane in the air and virtually runs toward his house now, looking for the gate to his house as he comes down the road. He opens the gate. His wife is sitting on the front porch. He doesn't pay her any mind at all. He rushes up the steps to the front of his house, goes back to the back bedroom, gets down on the floor, and rolls under the bed. He holds his hands over his ears, but there's a voice coming from outside the window that says, Rufus, Rufus, the Father is calling you home. His wife, Aunt Sarah, runs into the bedroom. She hears the voice. And she answers and she says, Rufus is not here. Who is that? Who wants Rufus? And the voice says, it's the Father. The Father is calling Rufus to come home. Rufus's wife, Aunt Sarah, puts her hand to her mouth and she says, I tell you, he's not here. And the voice says, the Father is calling Rufus home. But if Rufus is not there, the Father said to send his wife. At that point, Aunt Sarah gets down on her knees. She reaches under the bed. She grabs one of her husband's feet and she says, Rufus, you come out of there. Come out from under that bed, I tell you. All the times you said you were ready, now you come out now. The voice continued to call, Rufus, Rufus. Aunt Sarah gave a harder pull on her husband's foot, but Rufus squirmed back under the bed. Just then, Aunt Sarah gave a swift jerk. She says, Rufus, you come out from under that bed. You've said all these years you were ready. I never said I was ready. I'm not ready, and I'm not. And just then, from outside the window, she heard a giggle. And she leans down and she whispers under the bed to Rufus and she says, I don't think it's the Father that's calling you. I think it's those young'uns from church. Rufus slides back out under the bed, catches his breath for a minute, and he says, old woman, tell the Father I'll meet him on the porch. And so he gets up and proudly walks out to the porch, and Aunt Sarah stands up and straightens out her apron, and she goes out to the porch as well. They didn't find anybody on the porch, but they did hear the sound of scurrying feet across the yard and into the road. I thought that story illustrated something about us. It's sort of humorous. I can see it happening. But it illustrates something about us, doesn't it? We claim we're ready. We tell others we're ready. We even try to assure our loved ones that we're ready, and if they're not ready, they need to get ready. But when the moment comes and the Father calls, at that moment, what would we do? Would we hide under the bed if we could? I think a lot of people would. A lot of people who call themselves Christians. Please go in your Bibles with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. In verses 10 through 14, the Apostle Peter gives us five important points about being called home. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 14. In verse 10. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, the elements will melt with fervent heat, both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. First point, the day of the Lord will come. Don't doubt it. The day of the Lord will come. He's promised it. He's shown us that he intends to judge us. He's shown us that he's willing to destroy the earth. Peter talks about that earlier in this context by destroying it with the flood to begin with. The day of the Lord will come. That's a given reality. Look at verse 11. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Our conduct can prepare us for the coming of the day of the Lord. You can live in such a way that you can be ready for it. That's the second point Peter makes. And if you do that, the third point in verse 12 is looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God. You can really look forward to it coming. Because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, the elements will melt with fervent heat. When the day of the Lord comes, that's what's going to happen on earth. But to those who meet him in the air and who are safe with him forever, it will not happen to them. And so Peter goes on to say, we look for a new, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. We look for a place where we can live with righteous people. You know, regularly at our house, we'll maybe watch a newscast or notice a piece of news on the internet that's just so disheartening. That's just speaks to us of the awful evils that are in our world, and there are all kinds of them. And my response often is, what a world. What a world we're living in. I'm going to be so happy when it's a world in which righteousness dwells, and nothing but righteousness dwells. But the last thing Brother Jeff was talking about, sometimes little words and phrases that we've read maybe all of our lives and we haven't really focused on. And there's one in this passage. Can I share it with you? Look at verse 14. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. The English Standard Version says that we want to be found by him at peace. Are you at peace right now? If the Lord called you right now, it was the end of your life, or the Lord returned, would you be at peace with that? Or would you have that anxiety that I felt sometimes when my daddy would call me home? What's going to happen? Am I really ready for this? Had I been doing good that day so I know he'd be happy with me when I got home? We were living in Crystal City, Missouri. My dad had been working at a meatpacking plant, and he'd really hurt his back lifting the carcasses of beef and whatnot, and spent some time in the hospital in St. Louis. He was home trying to recuperate. I was down the street playing like usual one spring afternoon, and I hear the call. Steve, Steve, down the street, and I just caught it on the wind. I was kind of far from home, but I heard him calling. And so I sprint back up the street, run up to the front porch step. He's sitting on the front porch. He'd been reading the newspaper, but he dropped the rubber band that, you know, the newspaper was wrapped in. And he said, Steve, would you pick up that rubber band for me? His back was hurting, you know. I was so happy to get home and find out I wasn't in trouble and just do a little something to serve my dad. Boy, that was a great feeling. I'll never forget that moment. What about you? Just to be able to get into the presence of your Heavenly Father. The promise is in Revelation 22, we shall serve him. We shall see his face and we shall serve him. Won't that be great? Are you ready for that? Are you really ready? There's nobody in this room that knows for sure how they're going to die or when it will happen. We got news this week of a man my age, lives out in California. He was a classmate of mine at Florida College, dropped dead of a heart attack. That sort of stuff happens all the time. My father had Alzheimer's disease, as many of you know. When he got to get worse and worse, I began to think, well, he was just going to waste away and for some years eventually die with that. He caught the flu and died suddenly in Athens Hospital after only about a day with that. My mother got Alzheimer's, and she, as most all of you know, languished for 10 years with that disease before it finally took her. Sandy's father was in perfect health and of a perfect mind. And he pulled out in front of a car on a highway in Tennessee in December, and his life came to an end. We don't know. We don't know. But we need to be ready. Jesus said in Matthew 22, in verse 42, "Watch therefore. You do not know the hour of the Lord's coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready." We say that again in the words of Jesus. "Therefore, you also be ready. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect." Are you ready this morning? Have you obeyed the gospel? You're living a life of faithfulness? You're really ready? Please, as you think about that scenario, the Father calling you home, you leaving this life, whether by death or His coming, please think for a moment, is there an ounce of apprehension? Is there concern and doubt about what the outcome is going to be when you see your Father? Make sure your life is right today. Please come while we stand and while we sing.